Today's guest on the Hubcast awoke her love for interior design whilst running an art class for her local community. With an educational background in law and psychology and a career as the go-to person for her local church, this wasn't the typical grounding for a career in interior design. However, today's guest doesn't let anything get in the way of her dreams, so let's find out how she made the transition. Welcome to the Hubcast, brought to you by the Interior Designers Hub, where we help and support interior designers to get trained, get into the industry, and to grow wildly successful businesses. If you want to work in the field you love, create the lifestyle you desire, and make the money you truly deserve, you're in the right place. I'm your host, Kate Hatherall. Let's get into it. Welcome back to another episode of the Hubcast. Today, I am really excited to welcome Jade Iola of Ferd Interiors. Hi, Jade. Welcome to the Hubcast.
Hi, Kate. Thanks for having me here.
Not at all. Thank you very much for being here. So tell me a little bit about you. You've got a business that's up and running. So tell me about your business, where you're based, and what sort of design you do.
Yeah, so I actually started my interior design journey last year in January. Ooh, with you. It started because I run an art class as well, and we did a few sessions on drawing buildings and interior spaces, and I just fell in love. I was like, I want to do this all the time.
Oh, amazing. So,
and I joined the Hub Insiders. I did a course on interior design, and then I joined Hub Insiders. Mm-hmm. And yeah, it's just been one thing after another, and it's really been fun. I mean, we have had a couple of clients, but it's a stepping stone, right? So we've started and we're progressing.
Amazing. So you're in those initial stages. So you've got your business up and running, but it's all kind of quite new. And so if this is quite a new venture for you, I'm guessing that you've kind of had a whole life before interior design. So what did you used to do?
So I actually worked for my church for 5 years. I was their go-to person for everything.
Oh, I need one of those in my life.
I literally just did everything. So from administrative work to designing flyers to marketing to everything. If they needed it done, they'd just be like, Jade, can you help us do blah, 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 blah? And I'd be like, sure, why not? I can do it. But prior to that, I actually studied law and psychology. So the psychology is very helpful in designing interior spaces because I have that background knowledge of how your environment affects your mental health, your psychological state of mind, your productivity. I actually did my master's dissertation on productivity in a work environment. So I have that background knowledge, which is actually very helpful when I'm designing, because then I'm not only thinking, oh, does this look pretty? But I'm also thinking, how is this going to benefit your well-being in general? I designed a guest room slash office for a client, and the woman, she just wanted it to be like really soft and really gentle because it's a bedroom. And the husband was like, I work in here all the time. I don't want it to just be white. So having to act as a mediator as well, and getting her to realize that, yeah, he is in here most of the time, and you have guests 3 times a year. So it's that mediation as well is also really nice. Even there's another couple who were having a squabble about whether they wanted to paint their landing white, their wooden floors white, and just leave it like that. And the husband wanted it carpeted, fully carpeted. But the wife was like, no, no. They have very different styles. He's like really modern and she's very vintage. So for her, the floors being all painted white was just perfect. And for him, it was like, yeah, no, it's going to be cold.
And I find this as well, that a lot of what the job is about mediation. It's about bringing together people that have got really disparate views. And sometimes, let's face it, there's a little bit of marriage counselling thrown in, right?
A little bit. The husband and the floor, the carpet floor case, he actually said, "I'm not making a decision until we speak to Jade."
Which is perfect. That's exactly what you want it to be. So all of those skills then from the kind of the psychological sort of training that you've had must come into play with helping in that kind of mediation process.
Yes, because it is always a very, it can be a bit touchy when one person really wants something and the other doesn't. Even when I designed our house, the first thing I bought were two pink armchairs. And my husband came in and he was like, "What are you doing? Why? We have two small children. Why would you do this?" And I was like, "It's fine. They just won't eat in the living room. It's fine."
Absolutely. Like, there's always a way around. Sure. Brilliant.
And he was like, "I'm actually really impressed. Well done."
The obviously you've talked there about kind of, you know, your creative side and running an art club that you'd mentioned. And now, obviously, the interior design, which sounds as though it's quite different from kind of the church work that you were doing, and certainly very different from the law work that you were doing. So have you always been creative? Has that been sort of something that's run throughout your life? Or is it something that you've kind of realized is you a bit later on?
I think it's something I realized is me at this point in my life. So I always loved art in school. And this is a very funny story. When I was 13, I schooled in Nigeria, and we have junior school and senior school, 3 years junior, 3 years senior. So when I entered senior school, I wanted to take art as one of my courses. And we got into the art class, and the teacher walks in and he goes, "Draw this plant." And it was this plant, it had branches and leaves and everything going everywhere. And I looked at it and I was like, "There is no way I could draw this. I didn't know this was an advanced art class." So I teach, because he told us draw the plant and then walked out of the class. So I was like, "You're not going to teach us anything?" So I walked out with him because I was like, "I can't do this."
I don't blame you. I mean, surely that's his job, to show you how to do it, right?
I mean, in hindsight now, thinking as an adult, he probably wanted to just gauge where everyone was before he started teaching, but I didn't know that then. I was 13. I had no idea. I was just like, "You're giving me an impossible task." So I have always loved art, and I've always had an appreciation for art. I've just never been able to cultivate it until I started running the art class, which, I mean, it just opened up art for me in a whole new way completely.
So how did you get into doing that? Was that something through the church as well, or something that you did?
No, separately? It was actually because I was looking for something I could do from home or part-time, because I live in Croydon and my church is in Tottenham, and it's about an hour plus journey.
Okay.
I did not want to keep making that journey. So when my son was about a year, so I think it was just before COVID. Yes, just before COVID. I found that, just saw this ad, and they were looking for people who wanted to buy a franchise, and it was an art class. And I was like, "Well, I love art and it's only going to be one day a week, so why not?"
Perfect. Amazing. And so did you kind of, through doing that, did you, you know, learn sort of more about your own creativity and learn how to create art, I suppose?
Yes. Yes, I did. I actually painted some things in our house.
Amazing. That's so good. So, okay. So you'd kind of identified that sort of that creativity that was within you, and you'd always loved art. So how did that kind of change into interior design, or not change into, but how did you sort of then move in that direction? Was there a defining moment where you suddenly went, actually it's interior design that I want to pursue?
Oh, I remember. There's this show on YouTube. It's called Mr. Kate, and she's an interior designer in America. Well, she's now in Hawaii, but she was based in America. And I used to watch their show all the time. Uh-huh. And I was like, "Gosh, people get to do this every day as their job." Mm-hmm. I was like, "I want to do that every day as my job." So that was how I got, like, I got hooked on interior design. And then I was like, "Yeah, I really want to do this." And even when I'm just doing, I sometimes just do designs for fun.
Yeah, yes, absolutely. I'm with you there.
But yeah, it's absolutely something that I love, whether it's, you know, doing it by hand, so drawing, or if it's using SketchUp, because I do like SketchUp. My husband keeps saying, you need to learn to use AutoCAD, Jade. And I'm like, but why?
No, I don't.
Because he's an engineer, so he uses AutoCAD, and he wants me, because I now have some form of technical skills, he wants me to help him do the CAD for his drawings.
Ah, I see. The truth.
Yeah.
Brilliant. Okay, so you're then into designing, and you're like, right, this is what I want to do. This is something that's so exciting. People get to do this for a living. This is amazing. So what did you then do? Did you go and take some training, or did you just think, hey, I'm just going to set up a business and have a go at it? What was your journey?
I did some training first.
Okay.
Mostly to get the language of interior design. And gather a strong foundation in what it actually entails to be an interior designer, because it's all well and good just saying, okay, I'm going to buy a couple of sofas and blah, 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 and it'd be fine. But I wanted to get a full understanding. So I did do a short course online, and that really was very helpful for getting the technical knowledge, starting my journey with SketchUp. It was a very brief, like, it wasn't a lot of, they didn't cover a lot of technical stuff, just like the basics. And then I actually did your floor plan to, Frightened to Floor Plan.
Yeah.
I did it and I was like, oh, this is fun. And I've been playing around with it ever since.
Amazing. I mean, we love SketchUp here, and yeah, don't listen to your husband. You don't need AutoCAD. Brilliant. Okay, so you did that period of training, and then did you think about, or maybe I'll go and work for a studio, or was it always like, I want to do my own business, I want to have my own studio?
It was always I wanted to have my own studio, primarily because I have two small children.
Yeah.
And I've been in full-time employment and it just wasn't working. Going into work, having to pay for childcare.
Yeah.
The cost of transport in London is crazy. So I just thought, if I go back into full-time employment, all this free time that I was trying to recover by starting an art class, I'm literally just giving it back.
Yes.
And yeah. I also wouldn't be able to run the art class anymore because I would have to be at work. So it was always, I want to start my own business. Yeah.
Okay. And then did you know how to do that, or did you have to find out about how that all worked?
Well, I knew a little bit because I'd been running the art class, and around the similar time, my husband started his own consultancy, which is Ferd LTD. So I'm piggybacking off the name. So he started that. So I had some, and I've been helping him with it as well, the financial side of it. So I had some basic knowledge of how to start, but I am not a very good social media person at all. I mean, prior to maybe April, I think I was on any social media platform like once a week.
Okay.
Oh, wow. Jade, I sent you something on Instagram, and I'm like, okay, cool, I'll check it out. But now I'm on there like every day. I'm like, why am I here again today?
Awesome. So you've had to learn that's, you know, a really good marketing tool, and that you've got to get on there and do that for you, for the sake of your business.
Yeah, absolutely.
Amazing. So thinking back kind of across this journey that you've had, and I know that you're kind of in the early days of your business, but do you think that there were things that you were worried about, or things that held you back? You know, were you anxious about doing things? Were you worried about how to make it happen? Were you fearful of making the transition? What were the sort of blockers that held you back?
I think the only thing that held me back from starting, well, actually, if I'm being very honest, nothing really stopped me from starting, because I was already planning to leave my job at church because I had had enough. So it wasn't that I was worried about income, because it was already something I was planning to do.
Yeah.
And yeah, I don't really think there was anything that, in fact, I think the fact that I wanted it so much pushed me to do it faster.
Right.
So it's kind of like, well, this is what I really want to do. And now that I actually know that, because I feel like in my life, I have always done what other people expected me to do.
Okay.
And it got, so at the point where I decided I wanted to be an interior designer, it was finally, this is actually what I want to do. Amazing. And not what I think I should be doing.
Yeah.
So, I mean, I come from, like I said, I grew up in Nigeria. So it's expected that you go to university, you get a degree, and you do what you studied. So I kept trying to break into either the law market or the psychology market, and it was just dead ends everywhere. So I've always had to create my own kind of opportunities. And working at church did honestly give me that freedom and flexibility to do that. So there wasn't really, I wouldn't say that there was anything that stopped me. If anything, it was more that everything in my life was pushing me to do it.
Amazing. So you had that real kind of internal motivation because it was something that you knew was right for you.
Exactly.
Can I ask you if you're comfortable to talk about it? Given that you'd grown up in an environment where people had expectations on you to do things a certain way, did you get any kind of pushback, or was there any difficulty with, you know, actually you saying, now I want to move in this direction instead?
Yes. It did feel very, I think it was probably more me than my family. And it always felt like, oh, well, are they going to think, oh, she's doing something else again? Because I have done quite a few things.
That you were being kind of inconsistent and a bit flaky with what you were doing.
Yes. So that was my concern, but it's not something that anybody has actually raised.
Okay.
So it might have just been a mental thing and not necessarily a reality, because like I said, no one ever said it to me that, oh, Jade, you're doing something else again. Why not finish doing it? It was literally, okay, cool. Let's see how it goes.
Yeah. Well, that's really nice. And it's funny, isn't it, how sometimes those things are in our own heads and our own minds about what we think other people are going to think. And actually sometimes people aren't. People are busy, aren't they? And they're not always thinking so much about us as we think they are.
Yeah.
And it sounds as though that was, you know, something that was perhaps a mindset blocker for you rather than it being a real thing of anybody actually being upset about what you were doing.
Yeah, absolutely. I watched the Crow section of the videos, and it said, reach out to all your family and friends and tell them what you're doing. I was like, no.
Totally out of the comfort zone.
Absolutely not. I'm not telling anybody.
And did you tell them?
I've told some people, just not my entire network of people.
And how well is that being
close to me?
And how well is that being received by people?
Very well, actually. I actually did a built-in bookshelf for a member of my family. So that was
amazing. Yeah. Amazing. So, and it's funny, isn't it, how people actually are often more supportive than we think they're going to be, and we fear that it's not going to be like that, and actually people are usually very welcoming once they're on board.
They are.
So if you look back over this
I redesigned my parents' guest bedroom, so they were
amazing. That's amazing. And when your family and friends do want you to do that, it's a vote of confidence, isn't it?
Yes it is. So if you feel like, yeah, I'm doing something right.
If you look back on the journey to get where you are now, and obviously you've done some other things before you came to this, is there anything that you wish that you'd done differently? Like, do you wish that you'd done this at university back then and just that this had always been your career? Do you regret not having done that? Or is it just part and parcel of kind of life's fabric?
I wouldn't say I regret it, because it's not that I knew it was an option.
Okay.
So I wouldn't say I regret it. I wish I had known about it earlier. I wish I had done more research into what was actually available out there, because all I knew when I was entering university was law, medicine, accounting. That was it.
Some exciting options.
Engineering. And I was like, I didn't do any sciences. So that was already engineering out, medicine out. I hated accounting in secondary school, so that was also out. So law was left with. So that's why I actually studied law. But then psychology then came because I'd now started watching American TV a lot more. And then I was watching Criminal Minds at the time. And I was like, ooh, it'd be really fun to become an FBI agent in that would be a lot of fun. So I was like, okay, I'm gonna become a forensic psychologist. And then I did it. I started doing the course, and then I started looking into applying to the FBI. And then they were like, well, you're not American, so no. And
oh, I was like,
that really sucks.
After you've invested all that time.
Basics then. And then I applied there, and they said I had to give up my Nigerian passport. I was like, I don't want to do that either.
Wow. Okay.
So then I said, okay, so I'll do another type of psychology. I did think about working for the police briefly. And then I saw the pay and I was like, no, this is not going to do. So then I said, okay, I'll do occupational psychology. And then I did my master's in that. But long story short, I don't really have regrets. I think everything has built up to this point. And even though like I haven't necessarily had a career structure from the time I finished university, which was only 10 years ago. Gosh, 10 years ago is such a long time. it's only been that long. And I think in that time, what I try not to do at least is compare myself to my peers, my classmates, because we all have different journeys and mine has just shaped out this way. And now I'm happy where I am because I get to do something I actually love doing.
And that is so nice to hear. And is that not the point of life?
Yes, it is.
It absolutely is.
Every time I speak to young people now, I'm like, just find something you love to do and make it work. It will probably take you way longer than it's going to take everybody else that goes down a traditional route of, you know, law, medicine, engineering. It will probably take you longer to figure it all out, but do it. And then life will just be more interesting the whole way. Yeah.
Amazing. I love that. Love that. Jay, thank you so much for coming and sharing your story. And it's been really interesting. And, you know, obviously we wish you all of the best. I know that you're in the early days of your business and it's great to have you as a Hub member because I can't wait to see you and to help support you in making that business exactly how you want it to be. So it's really exciting times ahead. Before you go, would you be happy to play a game of designer this or that?
Of course I would.
I love it.
That's the reason I came on here.
I don't know what I'll say if somebody says no one day.
I don't think I would.
Okay, so I'm going to put a minute on the clock and I'm going to ask you either this or that. Jade, are you ready?
I am ready.
Okay. Scandi or boho?
Scandi.
Floral or geometric?
Geometric.
Spots or stripes?
Stripes.
Maximalist or minimalist?
Ooh, minimalist.
Dark or light?
Light.
Neutral or colourful?
Colourful.
Blinds or curtains?
Curtains.
Wooden worktops or quartz worktops?
Oh. Ooh. Quartz.
Brass or copper?
Brass.
New or upcycled?
Is there a middle ground? In the middle. Both.
New or upcycled? One or the other?
New.
Okay. Leather or vegan?
Leather.
Glam or rustic?
Glam.
Oh, we're just about out of time. Amazing. That is our 1 minute up. Jade, thank you so much for playing Designer This or That.
Oh, that was fun.
Amazing. Thank you so much for coming on to the Hubcast today. It has been really good to hear your journey. And I don't think we've ever had anybody that's changed from wanting to be in the FBI to wanting to be an interior designer. So that's definitely a first thing. And I'm sure that lots of people are going to be really inspired by your journey. So thanks so much for coming on today.
I'm glad. Thank you for having me.
Amazing. Thank you for tuning into Hubcast by the Interior Designers Hub. If you've enjoyed this podcast, please take a screenshot and share it to Facebook, Instagram, or your favorite social media channel.
Make sure to tag me in at Interior Designers Hub and let me know what you enjoyed about this episode. I reply to each and every comment. I'd also like to offer you an incredible free gift, which is going to show you the exact roadmap that you need to take to become a wildly successful interior designer. It shares our secrets to business success. If you'd like to get your hands on that, head on over to interiordesignershub.co.uk/roadmap right now. Thanks so much for listening, and I'll see you next time.